put desire and interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I've written the word resentments on the board, and I trust that the Lord will minister to us. It's a big subject. There's a lot of different things in life that can cause resentments. Now, the Scripture says, Jesus told His disciples, He said, offenses will come. And an offense, and I know there's a lot in that passage of Scripture, but offenses are, it's a trap or a snare. And He went on to talk about, but woe unto them by whom they come. But the fact of life is that offenses are going to come in life. Which means that all of us are prone in the flesh to resentments. So there is a way that the Lord wants us to handle ourselves when offenses come. And this is, I will just share with you the background of how the Lord started to talk to me about this message, and it was about me. So I will just say that these messages, I've been doing a lot of praying, and I'm not finished yet. But I was walking it's been a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe longer, and I was walking down a hallway, and a situation came to my mind. And you ever talk to yourself? I didn't say it out loud, but a situation came to my mind, and my internal response was, I resent that. And the Lord kind of pointed His finger at me and started talking to me. You resent that? And I will freely acknowledge here this morning that sometimes I had to go back and research the word, because that's the word I use. But I went back to really see, what does it mean? In my mind I said, I resent that. What does that mean? I want to read to you the definition of what it means. And sometimes we can use a word and recognize that maybe we use the wrong word. But the word resentment means that strong, painful, bitter indignation at having been treated unfairly, wronged, or offended. Did you get that? It said that strong, painful, and we could all say yes, okay, indignation, and I noticed it said bitter indignation. In other words, it's not sweet. At having been treated unfairly, wronged, or offended. But then it goes on, and there are other definitions of it. It means hard feelings or ill will. Someone said, I have resentment in my heart. It doesn't sound real Christ-like, does it? Ill will. Bitterness. A feeling of indignant displeasure or persistent ill will. Persistent means it's not letting up. It means it's continuous. Persistent ill will, it's something regarded as an insult or injury. And first cousin to it, just to understand the word resentment, first cousin is animosity. And animosity is a feeling of strong dislike or enmity that tends to display itself in action. A deep-seated animosity. Do you know the thing about resentment? Animosity may come out, but the thing about resentment is it doesn't always show itself. Resentment is a condition of our spirit, in our heart, and in our mind. And you can smile at someone, and all the time there is a resentment in your spirit towards that person. Now, I think I might have misused the word when I said that, but the Lord started speaking to me and let me know there is no place for resentment in the life of a child of God. But the thing is, there are offenses are going to come, and there are going to be things that bring displeasure. There's going to be things that happen that cause painful indignation. Jesus was, it said He was angry when He was in the temple. It was a righteous anger. It was because they were abusing a situation in their worship to God. And I don't advise going in and turning tables over, pulling the whip out. But in the condition of our spirits, the Lord has taught us to love and forgive and to let go. But with that, lest the enemy take advantage in all of our lives, there are things that are going to happen in life that hurt. There are going to be things that happen that can cause some deep wounds that one trip on our down to our knees asking God to help us does not mean that all of a sudden it doesn't hurt anymore. There are pains that people bear throughout life. There is pain that people carry in life. But I found that with the Lord, there is a balm for the pain. There is a place that even in times of strong opposition and offense, when someone else has committed things and done things that are not right, that has hurt us, that there is a place in the Lord for healing. It may still hurt when you think about it. But there's a place that I can let go. I can let go of the ill will. I can let go of what we would say resentment. And it still hurts. But folks, I believe that there is, and there's unforgiveness tied in with this. And we know the Scripture teaches clearly about unforgiveness. It says when you stand praying, and if you don't forgive your brother, it says God won't forgive us. But that, folks, we can't play games with that. And I will say when offenses come, we are in a very tenuous position. We are at risk. When offenses come, just remember when they come, and they will come, just remember I'm at risk now. What am I at risk of? I don't want to lose my soul, whether it's reality or not, at the perception of the hurt that was caused, at the injustice that was done. I can't afford to lose my soul over that situation. I can't afford to lose my soul over that person. I can't afford to be resentful, Lord. Because if we get resentful, folks, it will tend and start dominating our lives. And the Lord has a lot of other good things He wants us to enjoy in life. Resentment. Hard feelings. And again, don't misunderstand this morning. There is going to be indignation sometimes. There's going to be hurt. There's going to be times that we're not treated fairly or wronged. But when it happens, Lord, help us to bring it to the Lord and commit it to God into the hands of a righteous God. Because, folks, there are going to be things that happen in life that, frankly, you and I don't have the power to change. We don't have the power to change. We don't have the power to fix everything. We don't have the power. Sometimes one man I remember saying, heard about this, had said, he said, I don't want to get even. I'm not wanting punishment. I just want justice. Have you ever felt that way? I don't want to get back. I just want things to be fair. I just want justice. How many times have things happened in life that we think, well, Lord, I don't have the wrong attitude, but Lord, could there at least be some fair play here? Could there at least, but you know, the Lord, folks, in life, everything's not fair. And I know probably all parents have told their children, well, life's just, things aren't always fair. And we have to learn till we say, well, deal with it. Folks, there are going to be some things that happen in life. We're going to need the Lord to help us to deal with it. We're going to need something divine from God to enable us to commit some things in His hand, lest we get resentful. Well, let's turn and read, if you would, with me. Over in Genesis, my Bible's starting to fall apart. My wife got me a new Bible, but you know it takes a while sometimes to move over to a new Bible. Over in Genesis in the 37th chapter. Genesis chapter 37, we'll begin reading with verse 23. It said, it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat. Now, do you remember what kind of coat Joseph wore? We call it the coat of what? The coat of many colors. Now, thinking about resentments, do you know that Joseph's brothers resented him? And do you think that maybe you might have also had a little bit of a struggle? Because listen, Joseph, it's not wise to tell everybody your dreams if everybody's bowing down to you. And especially when dad plays favorites. And his father did play favorites. And that's not right. It's not fair. It wasn't fair to the other brothers, because here, we're all brothers, we're all kin, we're all out working, and here's mama's precious little boy that you always catering to him. Do you realize that that was caused resentments in the Joseph's brothers? It caused them to be resentful because things weren't fair. Well, we always talk, we look at Joseph, and that's why we turn here, but I wanted to point out one of the things that causes resentments in people is if someone else is being honored and you're not, should you be resentful? No. Scripture says to rejoice with them that rejoice. And I know when it's in family like that, it can start, there can be a battle there, and rightly so. But do you realize that I know people today, and I've known for years, that when someone else is getting some recognition, it just causes them to get resentful. And that's indicative of pride. If it hurts me to see you honored and see you getting something good, or God blessing you or prospering you, and I'm not getting it, and do you know that's a sign of pride? So Lord, help us just to recognize there are many causes of resentments. But one of them is when people begin to get jealous. Saul is a prime example. His old words speak me a fear, and you know what? We're going to have to say that one for another time. But briefly, Saul got resentful against David. And it dominated his life. He spent his life unhappy chasing after David because he didn't like it that David was getting some recognition. And all the time, David was acknowledging the kingship of Saul. Think how different Saul's life could have been if he would have accepted and allowed David to be his right-hand man instead of being resentful. You know, I believe they both would have prospered. But instead he got resentful. And jealousy, folks, jealousy is a dangerous, dangerous thing. And I believe the Lord may have more on that later. But jealousy. Jealousy of people's relationships. There are people that, you know, you're my best friend, and if I see you talking to that over there and they're your friend, then I'm jealous because I thought you were my friend. You know that happens, and to adults that can seem so petty. We look at children that do that, and it's children, children, children. Just get along, play together, love one another. But do you know that adults actually do that sometimes too? I have known husbands and wives that have been so jealous of each other that they won't let husband won't let his wife go to town because he's jealous. I knew a man, that at night he would literally put out newspaper on the floor lest his wife got out of bed, he'd hear her. And he'd know. He was jealous. He was driven by jealousy. And when you are jealous, you will begin to read into things that are not there. It's what jealousy does. You will begin to put your bad motivations on everybody else. And it's not everybody else. It's something in my spirit. So, enough said on that subject for the moment. But that is one cause of resentment. Now let's go back to Joseph. He came in his brethren, it said it stripped Joseph out of his coat. His coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and they cast him in a pit, and the pit was empty and there was no water. And you remember the story of Joseph. His brother sold him into what? Slavery. Talk about cause to be resentful. Slavery. We are hearing more and more about that in this generation, are we not? But may I say that the clear teaching of the Word of God is that when you are hurt and when you have been offended and when someone didn't treat great-grandpa right, that I can't afford to carry unforgiveness for that, but I need to give it to the Lord that I can go on and be fruitful. And that is what Joseph did. If anybody had cause to be resentful, it was Joseph. His family turned on him. His family, the ones that should have been there to support him, they sold him into slavery. And then we find that Joseph was, as he didn't just hang his head and say, well, I'm just a slave and, And I guess I'm just in, get under that blanket. You see, that's what resentment does. It's what, when we get under that cloud, it causes us not to be fruitful. But Joseph, on the other hand, he still kept his eyes on the Lord. So I'm a slave. Well, then by God's help, I'm going to be the best slave that I could be. If I'm injured, if I'm wounded, then I'm going to do the best that I can under the given conditions that God has placed me under. I'm going to do the best I can. You know, folks, there are going to be some things, offenses that come that are going to handicap people in life. There are disabilities that come from hurts and wounds and offenses. There are things, there are abuses that happen to people. And I don't take away from the healing that is in the Lord. But children that have been abused all of their childhood, it's going to leave them with some scars. And it's naive to come and say that the Lord is going to remove all of those things. The Lord is there to be a friend. He's there to bring healing. He's there to give quality of life. I believe that. But there are going to be some things that can hinder, handicap us in life. But the difference is in our perspective. That yes, I was mistreated and it has affected me, but Lord, this is who I am and what I am today. And Lord, would you help me? Would you help me to bring forth fruit today in whatever condition that I'm in? And I believe that's what Joseph did. So Lord, then if I'm a slave, then Lord, help me to be the best slave that I can be. And God blessed him being a slave. And he actually gained power until he was falsely accused. Have you ever been falsely accused? I want to talk about cause for resentment. Especially if you're doing what the Bible says and you forgive and you let go and you don't call for justice, you have to be careful of what stays hidden down in your heart. Because it can have a way of just working and working because you're not dealing with it openly. So Joseph was falsely accused by his master's wife, wasn't he? When she tried to tempt him, he said, "How can I do this thing? How can I do this? I'm God's." And he physically ran from the wife. He ran. He's like, "I'm not doing that." But yet he was accused of doing it. Yes, and so others would thought, yep, Joseph did it. And all the time he knew that he had maintained his integrity with God. Folks, when you are falsely accused, you're at risk. You're at risk. But resentment now, are we going, now how did Joseph respond? "Lord, now I'm a prisoner." "Well then, Lord, help me to be the best prisoner I can be." Do you know that time has a way of proving things out? You can't go put out every fire. You can't bring justice on every situation. But folks, when you are at risk, when offenses come, Lord, help us to be faithful and consistent, and the Lord will prove himself through time. And so Joseph did that. What a wonderful example. And so then he began to be prospered in as a prisoner, and God blessed him. Well, I think that's a good example for us because, see, resentments are those deep-seated things. Things that happen in life. Someone else, maybe getting acknowledged, well, maybe it should have been you. Jealousy, pride. But one of the things, and I know Brother Austin, you know, I've shared this, used to say, and I believe it, that probably one of the things that more people amongst God's people, the saints, are going to miss heaven is over unforgiveness than anything else. And I believe he's right. Saints, offenses will come, and it hurts, and it doesn't feel good. But do we really want to miss heaven over it? We can't afford to miss heaven because, and maybe it's not jealousy, and maybe it's not this, but just the hurts and the injustices and the things that people do. That you sit back. And the people that have the greatest ability to hurt us are who? Who? The people you love the most. I would say that's sad, but that's the reality of it. And you know what? We all know that because I think we've probably all been there. The people that we love the most, and sometimes the people that you would think should be the biggest supports. and the biggest helps. And they're not. It causes hurt. And we bleed. You know, saved and sanctified people, you cut them, they still bleed. It still hurts. But Lord, would you bind up? I don't have to die from the cut, see. But if infection gets in, that's where you have a problem, right? It's when their infection gets in. And this morning, resentment is really infection. It's the ill will. It's the deep seated, and maybe nobody knows it, but down deep, there's just that ill will and that bitterness down deep inside. You know, the Lord wants to minister to that, and He wants to open up, like Brother Randy and Zachary talk. The Lord wants to open that up. And He wants that infection to come out. And the Lord can do that, folks. The Lord, that's His design. His love and His grace. The girl sang about His grace. His grace can enable us to be strong and not give in. Folks, the devil would like the hurts that life brings to cause everybody to go into a hole. Have you ever felt like running for a hole? What if we all did it? We'd all be gone this morning. Most of us, maybe a few little children might be here, but we can't go running for the foxholes. But know that there's a place in the Lord that He can give healing and that He can bind up. And yes, it hurts. There are things I can, even from years back, that these things we're talking about, someone didn't do something right and things weren't just and things weren't right. And you know, even just think about it, it still hurts some. But you know, through time, the Lord can even begin to take that away. He can take the sting out of it. But we can't afford to be bitter. We can't afford to be resentful and just harbor deep inside, because infection doesn't stay in one location. Infection in one location can tend to start spreading and affect other parts of the body that were healthy and good. And so there can be a problem over here that there's an offense, but if we get resentful and get bitter at it, it's going to start affecting the whole body. And that applies to the church as well. Where there's something unhealthy and there's affection in the body of Christ, it has a way of infecting the whole body, just like it does the physical body. It affects families. I know families today that they're, for many, many, many years, they would not enter into the church, a church door, because something was said that they got offended at. And so, mom and grandpa and grandma should have got rid of the resentment. They shouldn't have even gotten resentful. They should have prayed for forgiveness. They should have gotten over it. They should have gotten grace for it. But they didn't, and they passed it to their children. Now it's passed to the grandchildren, and the grandchildren know very little to nothing about the things of God. What was the cause? The cause was because grandpa and grandma were resentful, and they didn't get healing. They didn't get victory over it. You see what a responsibility there is then for each one of us individually is, Lord, I can't afford to allow things in life to cause us to be resentful or to be unforgiving. Have you ever gone to a work day? And Brother Sean, the children told me, Brother Sean sure does a lot of work. They're talking about Monarch. We appreciate that. But I was thinking about work day. Have you ever showed up at a work day and kind of wondered where everybody was? Do you know you're at risk? I'm not talking to you, Brother Sean. this is just another example. In the work of, whether it's the work of the Lord, whether it's physical work or spiritual work, do you realize that most places it's the smallest, it's the 5% doing 99% of the work? And that's everywhere. I mean, on the job, you find the same thing. Find the same thing in business, you find the same thing. It's usually the few people that are willing to get in there and get to work that get something done. But we have to be careful, even in the work of God, not to get resentful. It's like, here, I'm sacrificing, well, where's this one, and where's that one, and why am I the one that's always doing it? Be careful. Be careful. You remember Peter kind of felt that way a little bit, didn't he? Jesus gave Peter a job. He said, feed my sheep. Okay, Lord, feed my sheep. Peter, okay, and then he kind of started looking around, like, well, he saw John. Well, what about John? What shall this man do? You know, man, this man, I kind of put this as you say, what shall John, what is this man going to do? And Jesus said, what is that to thee? In other words, in our language, it would be kind of like saying, just mind your own business. Do what I told you to do and let me take care of John. Folks, in life, we need to do that. We don't want to go through life worrying so much about what everybody else is doing or not doing. But Lord, help me to be faithful to do what you've given me to do. Amen. Resentments start out small many times, but they have a way of dominating. They have a way of dominating someone's life. And, you know, resentments can start to warp our perspective. It can start to warp our perspectives because now it's kind of like glasses. Everything I see with my glasses on, they're filtered through these lenses. So if I take my glasses off, things are a little bit different. Well, what if I borrowed, who else has glasses on? Brother Randy. If I borrowed Brother Randy's glasses, they might make things worse. I don't know what his prescription is, but they might make things worse, but it would filter things differently. When hurts come, if we allow resentment, infection to take hold, it starts, everything that happens in life is starting to be filtered through that. In other words, if Zachary has done me wrong, he did me wrong and it hurt. So I'm like, Lord, help me to forgive and not, but if I start to get resentful to Zachary, then pretty soon, well, that's Zachary's sister right there. That's Vanessa. That's his sister. And pretty soon I've got some resentments there. And then I look at her mother and I'm like, yeah, that's Zachary's mom. Mm-hmm. And pretty soon it's like, well, I look back and, well, Sister Melissa, yeah, they go to church the same place and they're all kind of one of the same. And I start to filter everything through what one person did. Have you ever heard someone say, well, the saints just didn't treat me right? You know what a good question to ask is? Well, which saints are you talking about? Not trying to stir up gossip or anything, but did the saints really do you wrong? Well, brother, let's deal with brother so-and-so then. Is there a place that could be rectified? Is there a place that could be worked with? But do you see it can start filtering and affecting us? And pretty soon we start reading things into a lot of situations. And really it was just this one problem over here, but resentment has taken hold. And it starts to affect how I approach life. Resentments can zap the very life. It can zap the very spiritual life out of someone. The scripture says where there's no wood, what happens? The fire goes out. So then we shouldn't keep throwing wood on the fire. See, I'm talking about in our own life. There is a place to deal with situations. And maybe this afternoon we can talk about some things. I'd like us to consider the price or the cost of unity. The cost of peace. There is a price. There is a cost. But in our personal lives, people that keep talking about the same thing over and over. Now, if there's a problem, communication, deal with it. Sometimes that means with other people to sit down for the purpose of resolving. Some people don't want to do that, and then things can start festering. You ever been there? That means we have to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, there's nothing else I can do. I don't know what else to do, so Lord, would you bring healing? Would you bring healing? Would you help us to be fruitful like Joseph was fruitful in slavery? He was fruitful because he looked to the Lord. And I will try to wind this down here in a few minutes. Remember the little story I've shared with you before about the man that was late getting home? And he told his fishing buddy or whoever he was with, he said, my wife, when we get home, he said, my wife's going to go historical. He said, you mean she's going to go hysterical? He said, no, when I get home, my wife is going to go historical. In other words, I'm going to walk in and you're late and you were late here and you did this and you did that and you get, and pretty soon you get this whole list of all the things he's ever done. You know, going historical, resentments. I will say in marriages, folks, resentments can ruin a marriage. And many times they happen by little things Little things that aren't given back to the Lord or little things that are unresolved. Communication is important. It's important in marriage. It's important in relationships to be able to communicate. Yes, it hurts. This is why. Yes, it hurt me too. This is why. And be able to go through. But that doesn't always happen. In marriage then, when that does not happen, and maybe you can, things on the surface look okay, but have you ever found yourself, those of you who are married, that there was something just a little down there that was still percolating up there in your mind, and it was just kind of... And finally, when you were able to talk about it, it was just a release. And I'm not talking about going hysterical either. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about meaningful communication to be able to share, to be able to move beyond. But until that happens, the danger is that you start stuffing. And when, you know what happens with a pressure cooker? If there's no outlet, you know that little thing on the top of the pressure? You know what that's doing? It's relieving pressure. And if we don't find a place in the Lord to release the hurts that happen in life, the offenses, something's going to blow. And a lot of times that comes in an inappropriate time in an inappropriate way. So how much better to bring those things to the Lord and say, Lord, I need some help because I am hurting. And Lord, it seems like it's just, it's not getting better and I need you to help me in my life. Because folks, we can't afford to be resentful. Marriages, it's so important, folks, because one little resentment, it tends to start building walls. One brick at a time, and pretty soon in marriages, people are looking over, husband and wife looking at each other over this wall like this. That's not what God wanted. He wanted there to be a closeness and a unity, which means in marriage, we can't afford to be resentful, but work through those things in a spiritually healthy manner. There's so much more that could be said, but part of the definition resentment. And this was not a spiritual definition, and I took note of it. I'd like to read it as we begin to conclude. He said, the strong and painful bitterness you feel when someone does something wrong to you doesn't have actual physical weight, but it feels very heavy, and it lasts a long time. Forgiveness is one way to get rid of resentment. That was just a kind of a secular definition. So how do we get rid of resentment? You know, when Joseph, and we won't take the time this morning to read it, but when Joseph stood before his brothers when they came to get corn, he said, don't be angry at yourselves. And I thought, Lord, help us have the spirit of Joseph. He said, don't be angry at yourself. God allowed this so that he could be in the position that he was in. God allowed it. And I thought, Joseph didn't have any resentment. But he said, God allowed it. And he rose above the hurt and the pain. The scripture teaches us to put aside anger and wrath and malice and to love and to forgive. Folks, this is where the victory is found this morning. It's found in a deep-seated humility. And I'm not going to apologize. This is what we need to do if we recognize that there are things in our lives that have kind of started getting hold. We need to bring those things to the cross. And we need to nail them to the cross that the blood of Jesus can be applied. That, Lord, I'm struggling and I don't want to miss heaven. Maybe you've been hurt. And you know, most people have been. And I'm not talking about wearing your feelings on your sleeves. You know, people do need to grow up. But I'm talking about real hurts. And it seems like there's enough to go around in our generation. So what are we going to do with it? Bring it to the Lord. Because folks, there are some of these hurts that we cannot get over by ourselves. And that's what grace was for. But it takes a deep-seated humility of self that I'm going to give up justice. I'm going to give up rights. But Lord, I want healing in my spirit. So I can bear fruit just like Joseph did. So I can function and bear fruit even in the middle of a situation that I wouldn't wish on anybody else. That we can grow and we can be healthy spiritually, even in the pain that life brings. There's more could be said there, but when we acknowledge God, I found that there is a divine grace through humility that will enable us. So when the things come to mind, and like I said, my response was, I resent that. The Lord let me know, and when I went and started investigating and looking into His, no, I can't afford to resent. Yes, it hurts, but Lord, if there's any infection there, Lord, I want you to clean it out. So be blessed this morning. Thank you for your time.